For by means of a horsewoman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7, real quickly, verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went to the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtile of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved woods, with the fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with my myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us so lace ourselves with love. For the goodman is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Listen to this. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Amen. I believe that we're living in a time that the world and the temptations of the world, with their fair speech and with their temptations, are causing God's people to yield to the things of the world. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You know, there's a lot of things that we look and it seems innocent, that seems to be not damaging to our souls. And I can tell you this scripture right here, I feel like that we're living that day and time that the world is causing God's people to be tempted and lured away by simple things and by attractions, by bright attractions. Listen to this. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. For a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that is for his life. Hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of thy mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Listen to this, church. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Amen. Quickly, Jeremiah. This will be the last portion of scripture reading. Jeremiah 19. Verses 1-8. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have filled also the high places of Baal to burn their sons. Listen to this. To burn their sons, their flesh and blood sons. This is their children here, the Bible's talking about. With fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I have commanded not, nor spake it, neither there came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Topeth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. And I will cause them to fall by the sword because they're enemies. and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven, and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished, and hiss because of the plagues thereof. Amen. Just for a few minutes, I'd like the Lord to help me to speak or to preach, if the Lord will anoint me on the hunter and the hunted. Amen. I feel like that we're living in a day and an hour that we're seeing men and women of God falling by the wayside. It's no common thing to hear of a preacher telling his congregation, or we're hearing the rumors of a preacher falling by the wayside that's fell by sin or fell by this or that, or even the lay members of the church just walking out the house of God, giving up on God and walking out to things of the world. And can I tell you that we're living in an hour that the hunter is after the hunted, and that we are the church of God are the hunted. I feel that we've been blinded. We have blinded ourselves to the things that we feel no longer are, that no longer are damaging to us, that cannot pull us away. But can I tell you, the hunter is gifted and is skilled, and he's after those that are seeking that place of refuge. And can I tell you, he's after us day and night. He's after seeking the souls of God's people to lure us away and to catch us in the snare of his trap. 2 Samuel 1 and 25 says, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I feel like if we've ever seen a time, that we've ever lived in a time, we're living in 1998, that we're seeing people fall by the wayside every hour. We're seeing people that's been lured away, people that we shadow with, people that we've preached to us, people that sung the songs of Zion, people that's been prayer warriors in the house of God. We've seen them fall by the wayside. Why? Because the hunter has hunted them down. It calls them the fall by the wayside. Hallelujah. You know, we sit idly by. We say, well, as long as I'm doing fine, that's all that matters. But oh, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves that lest we see our brother fall by the wayside. Oh, we see him fall by the wayside, and yet we stand and sit and do nothing about it. Just simply because as long as we're still in the battle, as long as we're still doing good. Oh, but can I tell you, all those that we fought with in the battle, those that have prayed for us in the battle, oh, it's time for us to get the vision back in the church. It's time for us to get the burden back in the church. Oh, the less we be hunted down by this hunter. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When I was a child, when I would be a bad boy, my mommy would have for her to take me outside, slam the door and said, if you don't do better than this, the boogeyman's gonna get you. And I never seen a boogeyman, but I had my vision of what one looked like. And oh, he was scary to me. But can I tell you, there's a hunter that is on the loose tonight. And oh, he thirsts for the blood of saints of God. And can I tell you, that boogeyman that I was scared of as a child, oh, he is the hunter of my soul, even as today. He lurks and he hunts and he tries to lure me away with the things of the world and with the desires of the world. But can I tell you, we must stand steadfast in the way lest we fall. Unless we be caught in the trap of the enemy. I read to you in Proverbs chapter 7, probably one of the most saddest stories in the Bible to me, about the writer of this book, Solomon. In the Bible, I believe, as he tells the story, says as he sits and looks out the casement of his window. So I believe and persuaded that he watched this incident take place. He sat at his windowsill and watched as this young man walked on the curbside, and there as he was lured away by the enemy. The Bible said that she waited there for him. Can I tell you, when we walk outside these doors, there's a hunter that's waiting for us. And oh, he knows our weaknesses. He knows what we're easily tempted by. He knows how to discourage us. He knows what he's liable to do to cause us to fall. But Solomon says, I look out the casement of my window, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. This was a wise man, void of understanding. Let me rephrase that. This man was someone that possibly Solomon knew. It was someone that he possibly had went to church with. But can I tell you, he sat outside his window and watched as the hunter took hold of this young man's soul. And my question to you, why did not Solomon cry out and warn that young man? Why did Solomon not open that window and yell and make warning to this young man and tell him to run, for that is the hunter and he's after your soul? I'm afraid us church people, so many times we sit by the wayside and we see our brothers, our sister become discouraged. We see them become hunted by the, and even wounded by the hunter. But all we do is sit and watch. We sit and watch. We do nothing. We don't encourage them. We don't call them and say, listen, I love you. You can make it. You can make it. Just keep your head up. Got you? That's the poor place the church has got to. That long as that we're doing good, as long as that we're got our heads up, it's all right. But all, got you? Solomon could have stopped this young man from falling. By simply, a couple words warning him. And there's a lot of people that has failed within our midst that possibly could not have went out the doors of the church if we had only encouraged them. If we had only prayed a little more for them. If we had only lifted them up in a prayer. It hurts me and it bothers me when I hear of men and God, men and women, when I hear the news of them falling, no matter what they've done, it bothers me because it hurts me inside because that could be me or it could be you. Can I tell you, if we've ever faced an enemy, if we've ever faced the wiles of the enemy, we're facing it. I've never seen such a time that the saints of God are fighting war within their mind. The enemy has almost clamped, a pair of clamps on the mind of the saints of God. It's warring against our minds and causing us to become oppressed and even depressed. Amen. Oh, I feel like we need to get awakened and we need to become alert of this hunter. Amen. You know, what would force a backslider to go out into the world, to indulge in sin and to go into the depths of the blackness of sin and to go against the things they once believed in, to do it? Can I see the hunter? The hunter, he has put a blindfold in the eyes and he lures him around as he would his own prey. And can I tell you, he puts him in a cage of captivity. And a lot of times the devil plays with us. He toys with us before he actually kills us. Amen. Oh, I feel like the enemy. The Bible said many are the mighty of those that have fallen. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Just in the last few months, we've heard men and women fall on the wayside. Has it stirred you? Has it caused you to lose sleep? Has it caused you to have a greater burden? Oh, I ask you this question tonight. Have you got the burden for your brothers and your sisters when you see them hunted by the hunter? I'm afraid that we're losing our children. We're losing the next generation, the generation that I'm living in, simply because we lost the burden and we've lost the vision. We've traveled all over the United States. We go to many different denominations and preaching in churches. And we see so many different things occurring and happening. And we've heard preachers tell us in some of the greater denominations, well known, we've had them to tell us, if we hadn't have done this and hadn't allowed this and that to come into our churches, you know, I wouldn't have lost my children to the world. I wouldn't have lost my church to the world. Can I see a lot of times we blind ourselves to the things that we feel is no harm to us. Hallelujah. We think they're innocent. We feel that there won't be damage to our soul. This won't hurt us. This won't. The church and the world is doing fine. But can I tell you, those things we've stood against, those things that our mothers and our daddies have stood against, if we allow those things to come into our lives and allow our children to do these things, we will lose our next generation. Where are the young people? Where are your children tonight? Are they sitting in the house of God? Are they here among us? I can remember the young people from highway opponents coming down to Brother King's meeting back in 1990 and 91 and 92. I remember the bus coming. And no, we looked forward for the young people coming down there to sing. But can I tell you, I realize that some have married and moved off. But there's a lot that in that time that's not with us tonight. Because the hunter has destroyed them. Have you lost sleep over it, church? Has it caused you to get a greater burden? Are you concerned about this matter? Oh, I believe it's time that we grasp a hold of the altar and we ask God to give us a burden. We ask God to give us our vision back and ask God to give our compassion back for those who are out in sin. Hallelujah. It's time for the church of God to wake up. You know, I love to shout. I love to sing and I love to praise God. And I feel like we need to praise and worship God more than we ever have. But oh, if we don't have the burden and we don't have the vision, oh, I feel all that is in vain. Brother Greg has made this statement the last few weeks. Very boldly. He said, if you seek a blessing or you seek the Holy Ghost, are you sick and need more than you seek the lost being saved or the backsliders being saved? He said, I doubt your salvation. Can I tell you our first priority in our lives should be to see one saved? To see the backsliders come back into the house of God. And how will that happen? It only happened through prayer and fasting. And that God give us our burden back and God give us our vision that we once had back. Hallelujah. Let me read some statistics to you. I got to hurry up. 1.5 million abortions have occurred per year in America. Right now, tonight, somewhere in the United States, a teenager, possibly that once shouted in the house of God, that possibly even preached or sung, or some preacher's daughter, or some preacher's son, or some of our kids even tonight, are trying drugs, who are indulging in sin, in the darkness of sin, even right now as I speak for the first time in their life. But are we concerned? Are we burdened tonight? God help us. God help us tonight. Just a few weeks ago in my hometown, a son took a gun and killed his own mother and father, blew them away, took them to a river, tied a brick to them, and threw them into the river. Greg can tell you about it. Made news. Would have killed his little sister, but she was away doing something. Can I tell you, we're living in a dark hour. We're living in a dark time. This family, I don't know much about this family, but it's possible they could have once served God. It's possible this young man could have been in the house of God. Who knows? But my point is, oh, we've lost our burden. We've lost our vision. And there is a hunter on the loose. Oh, God, give us a burden. Give me a burden, God, that I will lose sleep at night. Oh, do you remember the times that God's woke you up in the midnight hour with a burden on your heart, with someone's face coming before you saying, pray for them. Oh, they need someone to intervene for them. Do you remember those times? How long has it been since God woke you up? Hallelujah. I've got to hurry. I'm not going to get team touches messages. But there's three things this hunter's after. Three things this hunter's after tonight. He's after the church of the living God. And we're seeing it. We're seeing people backslide. We're seeing people compromise. We're seeing people let down standards on every side. God help us to be stirred. I don't want to lose those things that God has given us. Sister Collins spoke with such powerful words of wisdom today. She said, it stirs me when I see people that I know that once lived a dedicated life, when I see them letting down on standards, it bothers me. It makes me doubt that they had. Help us. Lest it be us next. Lest it be you or me or someone else. Help us have that burden. Oh, can I tell you this hunter? Let me tell you a little about this hunter. Let me tell you a little about his characteristics and how good he is. The dictionary, Webster's dictionary said a hunter. What is a hunter? It is to search. A hunter's object is to search for food. His appetite never gets full. To pursue with intent of capture. He's a deceiver, a master of deception. He's an artist. He's persistent. Nothing stands in his way. He never gives up until he gets what he wants. He's a researcher. He studies out his prey. He knows their weakness. He knows what they do and where they go. He's like a hound dog. He stays on your trail. Just when you think he's gone, just when you think he's not going to bother you, he's a knocking at your door. He never gives up. He's waiting for you to make a mistake. He's waiting for you to take the bait. He's like a hungry lion on the prey. He has a taste and a hunger for blood. He's no one to play with. I can remember as a young boy, my dad was a big deer hunter. I didn't understand why my dad had to get up at 3:30 in the morning to go to the woods and sit in the deer stand to wait. But can I tell you, that was his intent and his object, because he knew he had to be out there before the sun would come up. He knew those deer were going to be eating and grazing out there before the sun come up. And as the sun come up, because he had studied them, he knew where they would be at and what they would be feeding on. So he'd sit up in that deer stand in hours in the cold weather, even when it'd be snowing and raining. And I thought that was so foolish, but that's just like the devil. He don't care about the rain. He don't care about the snow. All he's waiting on is for you to come out and make that first mistake, that he can lure you away, that you can take a taste of that sin and to lure you away, that he can take half captive of your soul. The church has been hit with bitterness. I allowed a seed of bitterness. A lot of people say you have to be lured out because of the desires of the world. No, you don't. No, you don't. Can I tell you, I fought a seed of bitterness over a year ago. For 1 year I fought this thing. Till it finally weakened me. And it finally got me to the point I didn't care no more. My heart was dead. I had no feelings inside. And can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians that sits in the house of God that is fighting this seed of bitterness. And that we've allowed what things that people have said and things that people has done to cause us to get bitter. But can I tell you, this seed is not worth losing your soul over. It's not worth allowing the hunter to lure you away and to destroy what God has given you. I got in a hurry. The church has been under attack. You know it just as well as I did in the last year. We have felt the forces of hell declare war upon us. It's harder to pray. It's harder to sing and feel the anointing. It's harder for preachers to press through and get to that point that they feel God has really used them. The Bible said in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. When you lose your vision, when you lose your outreach for the lost and for the community, you will perish. I read to you in Jeremiah 19 verses 1 through 8 about Topheth. And I want you to realize here, this is an incident where the people, the parents, and this graven image was made with big hands as a furnace up under the sand. And they were literally taking their own children and placing their children in the hands of this God. And his hands were as a furnace. When they would place their children in this furnace, their children would literally begin to burn. And they would begin to scream and holler for the help of their mother. And can I tell you all, we've lost our children. We've lost our preachers. We've lost our singers. We've lost our vision. We've lost our young people to the world. We've placed them in the hands of the world simply because we've lost the vision. If you read the history of this, the louder the kids would scream, they would beat the drums of Topheth to block it out, the yells in the screams of the children. You see, the louder the kids would holler, the louder they would beat the drums to keep them hearing the call. You see, that call, the cry of those kids was conviction. It was to remind them, oh, where they once was with God. And can I tell you, oh, that church of God, the people of God, when we begin to be lured out by sin, we hear the cry of God. We hear the Holy Ghost dealing with us, at warning us not to go. Don't do that. But oh, we ask the world, we run to the world as the drums beat of the world to block it out, the conviction of God. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard the drums beat in your life where it kind of mellowed out God's Spirit dealing with you? Come on, church, I'm preaching tonight. May some of us that's lost the burden for our own kids. It bothers me when I see us allowing our kids to play in church, to get down the floor, and don't take me wrong here, but oh, our purpose to come to the house of God for our kids and for each other to be get closer with God. My mother would never let me sleep in the house of God. She said, you go out and play for hours and you don't go to sleep. She said, you're going to stay awake in church. I can remember my grandmama taking me to church and she would wear my hands out or pat me to wake me up and says, you're going to listen to what this service has got to get. You're going to listen to what this preacher's got to say. You say, that's foolish, preacher. But oh, it might be the words of that preacher. It might be the words of that song of Zion that pricks your child's heart to cause them to get saved in the years of a 9-year age. At 9 years old. Right. Hallelujah. I got to hurry here. The enemy not only has declared war on the church, but he's declared war on the family. We're seeing families being divorced. Out of the house of God, we're seeing people lose their children. We're seeing homes be torn apart by the enemy. Oh, what happened to the family altar at home? What happened to the days that we'd get down with our kids, mother, and we'd ask God to protect them out through the day? We would read the Bible to them and talk to them about the good things of God. Our pastor's wife, Sister Evelyn Sims, I know for a fact every morning, she's a quiet person. She don't sing. But I know every morning I've stayed with her. She gets those two boys up before they got to school. She reads them a passage of scripture. She prays with these boys. Gets down on her knees and prays with these boys. She's got two dedicated boys. Can I tell you, we need to get a burden for our kids, mothers and daddies. We need to ask God to help us to have a burden for them, lest we lose them to this hunter. Lest we lose them to the world. You know, it's easy for you to criticize some other young person that has failed a sin. But can I tell you, I've seen a lot of times that sin come knocking at our own doors. Those things we criticize other families about, we criticize other kids about, it come knocking at our own home's door. Hallelujah. What happened to our family values? What happened to our mother and father godly figures? What happened to the godly communication at home? What happened to the times that if your kids were going through something, they were fighting something, they could come and talk to you, mother, because they had confidence in you. They could come to you, daddy, because they knew you were praying, daddy. And they knew you lived a life. Let me ask this question. Does your kids have enough of confidence in you that they come to you and ask you for advice and ask you to pray about a situation? Or do they have to go to someone else for advice? God, restore the family altar. Restore that family altar. Restore the burden for our family. God, give it back to us. We got to take it back. And last but not least, He's declared war on individuals. Just a few weeks ago, and I'm coming to a close, we was in a revival in Tampa. And this woman who had been oppressed for 28 years had been to the doctors. And the doctors had diagnosed her as clinically depressed. There's no hope for you, lady. There's nothing you can do. Just take this medication and just hope that this medication it satisfies you and it helps you get day by day gets by. She come to revival. This lady would go and have nightmares at night. For 28 years, she was oppressed by the enemy and become depressed. I didn't ask her what had caused this, what had got her to this point. But I know that Greg had called her up to pray for her. And at first when he had prayed with her, you could feel a wall up that she felt there was no hope. Just another preacher praying for her. But God spoke to Greg. And he quoted her the scripture. God spoke to him and said, let the oppressed go free. And he prayed for her and asked for her to holler that out with everything that was in her. She began to holler, let the oppressed go free. And the Holy Ghost laid her out. And can I tell you, we witnessed as the almost a spirit left her body. And can I tell you, she stood up that night and said for the first time in 28 years, she felt that God had delivered her. And she had a peace of mind. Can I tell you, God's still moving? God's still delivering those that are oppressed. God's still helping those that are discouraged. God's still lifting those up that are attacked by the devil. Hallelujah. This may to be just to you just another 6:30 service. But can I tell you, God's telling you tonight there's a hunter out there. And we are the hunted. And let us not forget that we are hunted tonight. Oh, don't you get to the point, church, that you feel that you're comfortable, that you're so high and mighty that nothing's going to pull you down. You could be the next one that we hear in the holiness movement that has fell by the wayside. God, stir us. God, help us be alert, be aware, to be sober, to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm through. Turn this to Brother Collins. But I want to leave this thought with you. There is a hunter tonight. There is a hunter tonight. And he's after you. He's after me. He's after our kids. He's after the preachers. He's after the pastor's wives. Oh, help us to get the vision back. Help us to get the burden back that we once had. You can say what you want to, but we travel. I've traveled. I see the church and the shape it's in. I know that we don't have the burden that we should have. Because if we had the burden, we would be praying and crying every moment we had, every opportunity we had. We'd be asking God to send us revival, to send us revival at home, and to God to save the lost. You think that us kids don't remember a lot of things. I can remember the church me and Greg was raised in. I can remember them calling chain fasts. They'd pray, someone praying every hour of the night for God to move, to intervene for somebody, and God would move. And God would move in situations. You see, the yokes broke. Can I tell you, God, get us back to the point that we forsake the cares of the world, that we forget about our job, that God becomes first in our lives, and that a burden for the lost becomes before these things. God, give it back to us. Brother Collins, Sister Collins, they're not going to be around forever. Our grandmothers, our granddaddies, they have lived and pioneered this way of holiness. They're not going to be around forever. My mama told me, she said, I'm afraid that my generation has let down on the standard of holiness. And she said, if your generation don't take a hold of that my parents preached about and lived by, we're going to lose out. That scares me, church. It scares me. I wasn't raised in holiness. Went to a Methodist church for many years to the age of 17. So you can't tell me that holiness ain't right. God began dealing with me on about the things of holiness in a Methodist church. You can't tell me that this way of living ain't right, because I know it's right. Because God dealt with my heart as a sinner, as a little Methodist boy that wasn't taught about these things. God began dealing with me about these things and began giving me a burden and began giving me a vision of what I needed to be and where I needed to get. I'm going to say this. I know I got to hush up. There's a young girl in Albany, Georgia, Catholic girl. Been raised Catholic all her life. She began seeking God, and God began dealing with her family, devout Catholic in the church. But God began dealing with her on situations and things in her life. She began laying the things of the world down, and her family began to ridicule her and accuse her of being crazy. That you don't have to do these things. But she said she knew in her heart that God had led her to scriptures and led her to know these things were right. Can I tell you, if God can do a little Catholic girl that's never known nothing about holiness, God help us that's been raised in it and been taught and preached to it. Where are we going to stand on judgment day? What excuse are we going to have? Oh, there's a hunter tonight. Oh, and he's after our soul tonight. If we would, let's come up around these altars and pray and ask God's will, divine will for the service tonight. For God to anoint Brother Greg and God to move in the service tonight.